Broadcast. The live broadcast will run for the period of our open business, but will end just before we move into confidential business. I will let you know when this happens. We're all aware of the housekeeping by now, so I'm not going to go through all that part. And lastly, just to remind the public and press that taking photographs of proceedings or using any means to enable anyone not present to see or hear proceedings or make simultaneous oral report of the proceedings are not permitted. Thank you, and we will now move to the first item in the agenda. Apologies, and then I'll take a roll call.
Councillors Glasgow and Colvin.
Sorry, go ahead, Councillor Mahan.
Councillor Totten and Alatar.
Okay, and I'll go through the roll call now then. So, Councillor Ashton. Councillor Bale.
Michelle.
Councillor Black.
Present.
Councillor Brown.
Present.
Councillor Buchanan.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Burton.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Clark.
Michelle.
So, Councillor Cuddy.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Cuthbertson.
Chair.
Councillor Doris.
Michelle.
Councillor Ford.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Gildenny.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Graham.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Hughes.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Kearney.
Present,
Chair. Councillor Kerr. Absent. Shit. Councillor Mullaghan.
I can't get into this. Absent.
Councillor McAleer.
Yeah.
Councillor Niall McAleer.
It's just my name, isn't it?
Here.
Councillor Sharon McAleer.
Here, Chair.
Councillor McFlynn.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Brian McGuigan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor McKenna.
Here.
Councillor McLean.
Present.
Councillor McNamee.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Donald McPeak.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Sean McPeak.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Mullen.
Chair.
Councillor Mallory.
Present.
Councillor Monteith. Oh, apologies there. Councillor Mullen. Councillor O'Neill.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Quinn.
Present.
Councillor Robinson.
Present.
Councillor Wilson. Okay, so item three, declarations of interest. So if you want to declare now or as we move through the agenda. All okay. Okay, so we'll move to item four. So chair's business. So a few items myself just to begin with. So members, you will all know that I join with people across the globe in sending my condolences to the family of David Trimble and in paying tribute to him. I think it is very telling that no matter who has spoken about him in the days since that he has passed, there have been two words used time and again to describe him. Courageous and visionary. David Trimble's role in the peace process cannot be understated, and nor can his significant and unique contribution to the creation of the Good Friday Agreement. Those words are easily said now, when we are more than two decades removed from the time and turbulence in which the talks and negotiations took place. However, in 1998, when the agreement was signed, as well as in the years before and the years which followed, David Trimble was working at great risk, not just politically, but also personally. That took both courage and vision, for which he will always be remembered and was, put simply, a measure of the man. He leaves behind a legacy from which we and future generations benefit, and we must continue to work together to fulfil the full potential of the Good Friday Agreement. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. David Trimble was a man of great courage and vision.
His successful delivery of the Belfast Agreement will always be the highlight of his career. He demonstrated true leadership in the negotiations that led up to the agreement. Despite all the pressure he was enduring from within, and I was part of that, and outside the party. David was very close by when the late Edgar Graham was shot dead by the IRA, and this had a profound impact on his life and career. He always aimed to achieve no more deaths within Northern Ireland. The tributes that have been paid to him across all sections of society, both locally, in the UK and internationally, show how much he gave through his leadership. The bravery and courage he demonstrated whilst battling his recent illness was typical of the qualities he showed in his political career at Stormont and at Westminster. He had courage, ability, intellect and integrity, and he was always a loyal Ulster man who believed passionately in this place and its people. His place in history is secure. More than anyone else, he worked extremely hard at personal and political cost to bring peace to Northern Ireland. Also, while he delivered the Belfast Agreement, his comments recently regarding the protocol still stand. As he said, you can have the protocol or the principle of consent in the Belfast Agreement, but you can't have both. Whilst David and I disagreed on some aspects of the agreement, he never held a grudge and we remained friends throughout. Outside of politics, David was a family man. He also loved opera and Elvis Presley. I remember him discussing with the late Reverend Eric Culbertson Verdi Opera after a rather bruising political meeting. And I thought to myself, goodness, this man, opera and David Trimble just didn't look as if they would go together. David was also a family man. On behalf of the UUP councillors on Mid Ulster Council, I would like to pass on our deepest sympathy to his wife Daphne and his children Richard, Victoria, Sarah and Nicholas, all of whom he adored. They took untold abuse for years, and if that were to happen today, it would be called out. He will be remembered as a father, a husband, First Minister, a peer of the realm and a Nobel Prize winner. He will also be remembered as a great unionist. Thank you.
Ian?
Yeah, a lot of what I wanted to say has already been said, so I'm not going to repeat it, other than to state that there's been a lot of things said, both positively and negatively, by various people over the last number of days since his passing. And I just want to state our position, as far as I'm concerned. Anyone's death is very solemn, and it's a very sad time. And on behalf of the DUP, I want to pass on our deepest sympathy to his wife and his wider family circle, and to the Ulster Unionist family, because I believe that's a part of his whole life and a part of his legacy. And I want to just to let them know that we're thinking about them and they're very much in our prayers at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Kwan.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just on behalf of the SDLP, I'd like to offer my sympathies to David Trimble and his family and to our colleagues in the Ulster Unionist Party as well. I remember being in Oslo in 2006, taking a stroll around the Peace Centre there. I'll admit I was probably there more for John Hume than I was for David Trimble. But it gave me a chance to listen to what he was saying to people, what he was talking about from his perspective. And he always struck me a very intelligent man. And just reading back on history, I was probably a bit too young to know what was going on in the late 90s and the early 90s, the courage that it took for David Trimble to not only sit down with my party and others to talk about power sharing, to talk about an agreement, but to then put his full weight behind it and support behind it. That type of courage, even in this day and age, doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. We're too concerned about other things. And it wasn't easy for David, both within his own party and from outside, to take that step. But he done it, and he put his heart and soul into it. I think it was Seamus Mullen that said him and David had a lot of disagreements, and they probably fell out, but they always sat down person to person and got it sorted out. And that's the measurement of the man. He came to an agreement with political foes, with
different ideologies. And if he hadn't taken that step in 98, God knows where we would have been now. And I think just even for that one step, he's secured his place in history. And he will, and people will remember that for a long time to come.
Okay, thank you, members. I just wanted to go on then to highlight some of the positives from the last month and those to come in the future as well. So we had, for example, more than 500 year 9 pupils from local schools gather at the Foresee Your Future event, which aims to empower young people to make well-informed decisions about their education and future careers. And it was a real pleasure for me to meet students and see for myself the enthusiasm that they had and what the event offered. And I just wish we had had something like that when we were year 9 and going on to make big decisions that could possibly affect where you're going and what your future career is going to be. I was also delighted with the large crowds of people at the end of June when I attended the Cull Island Summer Bash and the Family Day in Mahara, the Gold Wild event in the Mahara Walled Garden, and the Clare Valley Show yesterday, which I know some of us were at as well. Again, huge crowds, and it's great to get meeting and greeting our agri sector and get meeting all the animals, and had a great wee day, so we did, and lovely weather as well. So they were all very popular events and very well received by visitors. And just about some upcoming events as well. So we have the Tafelda event coming up in Morrifelt next Saturday. And then at the end of the month, Saturday the 20th of August, we have the Luminaria at Ballyronan. So encourage everybody to attend and get the word out. I was also very pleased to attend the launch of Mid Ulster Pride celebrations. And again, I would encourage everybody to come along to Mid Ulster Pride's parade that Saturday, the 13th of August. So last year was a great year, and I'm sure coming out of COVID and that, it'll be bigger and better. So just to encourage you all to attend that as well. And over the last month as well, Council have confirmed that 18 community groups across our district received more than £12,000 through our Community Festival Fund. This shows our commitment to providing continued support for events taking place right across our district. And that fund is still open, so there's still time for community groups to apply, and I'd encourage any local groups to do so. I'll just move on then to the next part. So we've received a number of requests of support from Loch Nee Partnership, Ulster Rugby and STEP. Loch Nee Partnership are submitting an application to the Levelling Up Fund to improve existing markers and a dedicated dredger for the Loch to regularly dredge all new developed tourism boating canals or channels. Fishermen, quays, marinas and mouths to the River Blackwater, 6 mile water and the Upper Ban. Ulster Rugby are submitting an application to the Levelling Up Fund for a capital improvement project to enhance playing, changing and clubhouse facilities at Dungannon, Clare Valley and Rainey Clubs. The third one, STEP, are submitting an application to the Levelling Up Fund to purchase the old RAC barracks and Market Square Dungannon to bring the building back into community use, while saving it as a cultural heritage asset for the benefit of the entire town and the wider area for future generations. And the final one then, Mahara Heritage and Cultural Society, are also submitting an application for their heritage and cultural centre bid for the development of their heritage centre services for the local community. Managers from these organisations have made formal requests to council for letters of support for their application. All requests for letters require council approval. So I would just like to ask members of their agreement to send the letters of support. I propose Councillor McLean. Councillor Malloy. Thank you. Councillor Malloy, are you looking on there?
No, Chair, happy to propose or second that. All good projects, well advised with that.
Just going to scale Dickie's hand. Okay.
Councillor Mallahan, are you looking on there? Have you your hand up from before?
Sorry, I didn't dig it there.
Okay. And then the next item then, Councillor Sean McAleer.
Thank you very much, Chair. This is in regards to an issue in Clare Valley. It's Northway Mushroom Facility in Athnagar, Ballygawley. From 2017, from the plans went through, there's been a problem with really bad odour. At one stage, our party had contacted Mr. Poots in regards to this, and they had carried out, I think what he had said was the staff completed an odour assessment at the site and identified a point source of unacceptable odour from the part of the site's plant that was likely to be the cause of the odour. Now, this has been followed up liaison with the company and with the owners, and they have been very forthcoming in agreeing to help alleviate the odour. But just this Monday, I received another phone call, and these are regular. Now, majority of times, the odour is not there. But on Monday, I received a phone call from one of the regular people that are affected by it. And she's an elderly person. And she said over the weekends and the bank holidays, the odour has become bad again. But what struck me was she said, myself and my husband are two pensioners, and we have to use the tumble dryer to dry our clothes because we can't hang them out because of the odour, it's so bad. And I just thought, with the cost of living and all, that's why I wanted to bring it to council, because I do feel they have been trying very hard to alleviate this, and we have been working with the NIEA on this. But I feel that we need to maybe get involved, because if there is something happening at the weekends and bank holidays, I'm just wondering, is there something the council could do just to assist? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, again, on the same issue as Sharon, as somebody who sort of has been contacted by residents from basically an era from the company arrived and dealing with odour issues. Now, again, at the outset, it was quite severe, you know, and fairly regular. And as already been said, we've tried working with NIA. And again, to be fair to the company, they did try and do some remedial works there in the last year, start of this year, which did seem to reduce the frequency and maybe in some cases the strength of odour, but it's certainly still occurring. And again, as somebody who, well, I do a bit of running as my pastime and around those roads, like, and the certain evenings that you would know that there's a fair stench coming from it. The other wee thing, I suppose, over this past month or maybe 6 weeks, we've had NIA to come out and do sort of random checks on it. And unfortunately, those seem to mainly have been conducted during the week. But what has been noticeable is that the breakdown and things seems to occur more frequently at the weekend. So there's maybe a concern, is it a staffing matter? Is there something else happening at the weekend that shouldn't normally happen? And again, we sort of factored, we've reported that into NIA, but again, we're not moving any much further. So as Councillor McAleer says, possibly by the intervention or support of the council on this might be useful. So thank you.
Okay, and Councillor Burton.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Well, just to concur with the two previous speakers, obviously, when there's an older couple that can't actually put clothes on the line, I know this is an issue often in rural areas, just with slurry putting out and all the rest. But when you see something, and the mushroom scent, is quite strong, you know. So I think we need to be able to ensure that people, you know, the weekend should be the time where you can relax and have quality family time. And I think it is important that when residents are approaching local representatives, that we do our best to, help them and support them through this. So I'm just wondering, Adrian, what can we actually do to ensure that this is really took on board? Because sometimes we write letters, we send emails, but a lot of the times it's very difficult to get it over the line and to actually change something for people that's really putting up with us and shouldn't have to. They're ratepayers to us as a council, and would like to ensure that we're supporting them. Thank you.
Okay, Chair. Chair, members, if you're happy, I'll ask Ryan and the team to have a look at this tomorrow morning. Obviously, it's not our job to do the NIEA's job. That's the first thing. They have statutory responsibility, so we have to be very careful what we as a council can and can't do. But we have a environmental health remit that is local, and within the spheres and the parameters of that, we will enact that tomorrow and engage accordingly tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sean McPeak.
Thank you, Chair. I wish, if I can, I just want to reflect on the recent passing of a man who was very well known from the district and beyond 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that was Colin McGurk from Lavey. Colin died just over a fortnight ago following a very short illness. Age 56, he was an extremely popular man whose energy and effervescence truly inspired everyone who came into contact with. He was very well known in the GAA and business circles, where he had an extremely successful architectural practice based in Barrowfell. Anyone known Colin would have known that while he may not have been that big in physical stature, he more than made up for that by being a true giant in what he contributed both to community and business life in his 56 years on this earth. A lifelong GAA stalwart, Colin played for his club Lavey and County Derry at all possible levels, both hurling and football. He was one of the very few that represented Queen's University in both Sigerson Cup and combined universities in hurling and football. He reached the highest levels possible in winning Club All-Ireland football medals with Lavey in 1991 and County All-Ireland with Derry in 93. He also managed Derry to success in hurling at under 21 levels and at senior level won the Mickey Racker Cup in 2017. At the time of his passing, Colin was manager of Lavey Minor Hurlers. Such was his dedication into the promotion of Gaelic games with young people. His steely determination, total commitment and entrepreneurial vision meant that he was just as successful a businessman as he was a Gael in the playing field. Owner and director of McGurk Architects in Maharafelt, Colin created a very successful business designing many key public, private and community-led projects across the north and beyond. He was currently contracted by Mid Ulster District Council to design the prestigious Spearn Sculptor Trail at Dava and indeed led on many other transformative projects within the council area and further afield. In May of this year, I was personally delighted to nominate Colin and his practice for the Council Civic Award for winning the prestigious Liam McCormick Award for the top architectural project in the north for the best building design, and that was the James Connolly Visitor Centre in Belfast. A devoted family man, Colm's first love was to his wife Sinead, daughters Orla, Maeve, Anifa, and son John, to whom I wish to extend our condolences on Colm's passing. The district has lost one of life's true gentlemen and one whose enthusiasm and energy inspired all who had the pleasure of knowing him. I would hope that at some point in the future that Council would be in a position to present the outstanding civic award that Colin was due to receive to the family at some point in the future as a fitting tribute to what Colin has achieved in his successful professional capacity. May he rest in peace.
Councillor Kearney.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Chair, for letting me in. Just to concur with Councillor McPeak's remarks, Colin was small in stature but big in motivation. And again, at the time of his funeral, just to pay the greatest compliments to his family and to his club for the dignified funeral that he had, which was widely attended. So just to concur with the remarks of Councillor McPeak. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And just to add my own words too, just at the time you've seen the many stories and memories that people share, just how highly and he was held in the community and throughout County Derry, both as in his sports and in his business. So the next item, Chair's business then, Councillor Cuthbertson.
Yes, Chair, and I just want to take this opportunity to congratulate Dungannon's Darren Clark, who at the weekend over at Glen Eagles won his first senior Open Championship. Darren has become one of four people now that has won both the Open and the Senior Open Championship. In 2011, the Dungannon South Tyrone Legacy Council, they actually granted Darren with the Freedom of Dungannon, and at that time we erected signage on the approach roads into Dungannon reflecting his win in 2011 of the British Open. And I'd like, Chair, a couple of people from Dungannon has contacted me this week in relation, would it be possible to, first of all, we send congratulations to Darren on his recent win, but also if this could be reflected on the signage. I think it states 2011 champion, but if we could recognise this senior championship win also on the signage.
Okay, yeah. Councillor, officer is going to have a look at that and report back to the Environment Committee. Is that okay?
Chair, if you need
to offer my congratulations as well.
If you need somebody to second it,
yeah.
It is a good idea. We spent a lot of time and resources on back in 2011, I think it was, and we had a reception out at the golf club, and it was a great day simply because, you know, any time he wins anything, he's the Dungannon golfer, you know, and he is a big personality in that sport, and it does help. The, you know, we have Killy Moon with Dungannon, we have one up in, what do you call the one in Markfield, all three good, and anything that links golfers to this area, you know, because there are, a lot of them do come very close when the North Coast. So, you know, if you know, there's a chance that we can, if we keep the profile up as high as possible, we could maybe attract some golfers inland. Thanks.
Thank you, and just want to offer my congratulations as well. Okay, we'll move on to matters for decision then. So, item 5, council minutes of the meeting held the 23rd of June. If I can get a proposer, please, and a seconder.
Councillor
McGuigan. I think was first there.
Yeah, Chair, just if there's nobody who's proposed, I'm happy to propose, but I just want to bring up an item. And it's C129-22, and that is the notice of motion that was brought up at the last meeting. And I just want to formally propose that Council set up a working group under the De Hunt system in order to move the concept of community wealth building forward. And secondly, that it works alongside the climate working group that we already have, or as one group, which maybe would be better. And that's simply because there are commonalities that both groups could be working on in this in a positive way. So just want to formally propose that, Chair. So,
okay, Councillor McPeak, same issue.
Chair, same issue. It's just to second Councillor McGuigan's proposal, and just to say that, you know, we're not, both him and I are not precious about creating necessarily a new group, but perhaps if we looked at amalgamating the existing group on climate change, you know, checking the terms of reference in it and seeing if it could be amalgamated perhaps into this new working group, because as we mentioned at the meeting that night with Jared or talk, there was an invitation there for a zero carbon cooperative business breakfast a couple of days later, and along with yourself, Chair, and Councillor McGuigan, there was a number of council officers present, but there's a lot of commonality in the work that was discussed at that meeting, at that breakfast, in terms of new ways of cooperative working, which will help to accelerate the transition to net zero and improving sustainability. And that in many ways ties in with the climate change stuff. So I would ask that the officers look at either making the new group that we're talking about, or amalgamating, you know, the terms of reference that the existing group of what we need now for the group that was recommended there under the last motion. So I formally second
Councillor McGuigan's proposal. Chair, could I just maybe intervene and maybe ask the members, the minutes are here for accuracy, and just remind the members that the minutes are here tonight to be voted for and proposed and seconded based upon the accuracy of the minutes. But we're allowed to change, obviously, or any recommendations from the committees, and or accuracy if all other members agree that there's a change to be made to a specific element of the minute. So if the members were happy, notwithstanding what Brian and Sean have said, if you're happy to withdraw your proposal, we understand your sentiments. As an officer team, we are looking at working groups per se, because over the last 3 months, we've had recommendations and proposals to establish a number of them. And it's important that The working groups aren't there to do the work of the committees, but in certain areas working groups are very effective, and perhaps there's a lot of crossover, as you said, Sean and Brian, between the working groups such as this and climate. We are also very, very eager to move forward on the energy and also on the transformation led by JJ in September, and members have said to me they want that working group up and running to manage a modernisation process across our services over the next number of years. So to cut a long story short, if you were happy, let us as an officer team come back with some suggestions about rationalising the working groups that have been proposed over the last number of months, and we'll put proposals in front of you in September as to how we can integrate them and make sure that each of them have a clear terms of reference and raison d'etre, if the two members were happy to take that approach.
Councillor McGuigan.
Thanks, Chair. Chief Executive has said there, and I take that on board. They gave any working group outside of the committee is just to focus on the particular, remit of that group to make things, move forward. But certainly, if there's a review of working groups, then I'm happy to do that, because obviously a working group cannot just be set up and be online. It has to be effective, so I'm happy to, when the officers come back with a recommendation or whatever, to engage in that. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Cuthbertson.
Yeah, Chair, just a different issue. Last month I had highlighted the fact that DFA was weren't present to present their yearly programme, and I was in fact now that a date has been set in September, but I just wanted to highlight something that a lot of road users, in particular people in Dungannon, their frustration over this past month, especially over this past fortnight, in relation to works carried out by DFA contractors and NI Water contractors on the A29 Y Road. It resulted in a lane closure for 7 to 10 days. It was very frustrating, and I appreciate the fact that DFA tries to squeeze this work into July, and when the schools aren't working, and hopefully the roads will be slacker. But I think this is the third, if not the fourth, July in a row that the crossroads at the junction of the Link Road and the Moy Road, the BP filling station as we know it, has been dug up. Ourselves as a council, we'll try to promote Dungannon Park, and Dungannon Park is widely used and it's a tourist destination for caravanners from right across Northern Ireland. And it is very frustrating to see roadworks just at the entrance of the Dungannon Park every July. And hopefully we'll not see it again, but people were very frustrated this past 4 weeks in relation to the Moy Road being closed, because it was closed, a lane closure on the A29, even over the weekend when there was road work happening. But we can raise that again with DFA officials, but I just wanted to put it on record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and we'll ensure that's on the agenda whenever we hold that meeting. Just to get a seconder for the council minutes there. Brian McGuigan, opposed. Councillor Wilson, second. Okay, item 6 then, Environment Committee minutes of the meeting held 4th of July. If we can get a proposer and seconder. Proposed Councillor Wilson and second Councillor McGuigan. Any issues? Okay, item 7 then, Planning Committee minutes of meeting held the 5th of July. Can I get a proposer and seconder, please?
Councillor McPeak.
Councillor Sean McPeak and Councillor Christine McFlynn. And any issues?
Christine is her hand up.
Have you something you want to raise there as well?
Apologies, Chair. I just have a small issue with regard to LA09-2020-0729F. There was a discussion with regard to that plan application, and just a small amendment. I think it was Councillor Quinn actually proposed that we defer it for 1 month so that discussion could take place, and I seconded that proposal. Just want that amendment, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Okay, so Item 8 then, Development Committee minutes of meeting held 6th of July. If we can get a proposer and seconder, Councillor Black. And a seconder, Councillor Quinn. And any issues? And item 9 then, Policy and Resources Committee minutes of meeting held 7th of July. If we can get a proposer. Councillor Buchanan. And a seconder. Councillor McGregor. And any issues? Okay, then, so item 10, so piece 4, town shared spaces. So is it Anne-Marie or Mark taking
Chair,
that report?
Yes, Chair members, just the reports in front of you tonight, just and deputising for Anne-Marie. It's to do with the piece 4 town shared space programme. The tendering process is almost complete. But we do have a funding pressure to get the work completed before the end of the summer, but we don't have actually a mechanism to award the contract tonight, so we're seeking just delegated authority for the Chief Executive to approve the award of the schemes, subject to them being within budget parameters, Chair Members.
I second
it. Okay, so Councillor McLean, and who seconded there?
Councillor Cuddy.
Councillor Cuddy, thank you. And item 11 then, conferences, seminars and training.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. Just the report is as presented, members. The report contains training seminars that have been organised for yourselves as members. I will draw your attention to the NILGA training programme for August 2022 to January next year, and it's detailed as part of the appendix to the report there, just to draw your attention to the suite of training that's been organised over the next number of months, if any member wishes to attend any of those sessions, ranging from the Code of Conduct training and civil contingencies training and security and challenge. It's all outlined in there in the report there, members, for approval.
Okay. Have a proposer and seconder for that? Councillor Burton?
Councillor
Graham. Okay, then item 12, so civic recognition requests. And I just had one myself, just for changing Michael Davitt's under 15 Camogie team. It was actually the All Ireland Fela that they had won, so I've spoke to Eileen on that. And just then, if I can get a proposer and seconder, please.
Councillor Quinn.
Councillor Quinn and Councillor Sean McPeak.
Councillor Quinn wants to
pair. Oh, sorry, Councillor Quinn.
Sorry, Chair. No, apologies actually to Eileen. This is my fault because we talked about this one. Just the last nomination there, that's for a letter for Crack Theatre, for Best Technical at the Ames Awards. It's actually not Crack Theatre getting the award, it's the technical team that we brought in to do the work for it. We have never received an award before, or an award before, so I'm hoping for that to get moved into an award, if that's possible, Chair, or I can resubmit and we can agree for it next month.
Can I have a second? We'll just get a second there, we're happy.
Yeah.
Martin.
Thank you, Chair. Martin Sefnack and Councillor Sean McAleer.
Yeah. Sorry, I just want to check. Can I get my name added on to one of the nominations for the Errigal Kieran one, or do I have to submit
a form?
Is that okay? Thank you.
Thank you. And moving on to matters for information then. So item 13, correspondence report. Okay, Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. I'm taking up too much time tonight. No, it's just in response to the letter from Deira, from the Minister, just in relation to the pollution on the River Tarn and the animal cruelty register. I'm disappointed in the response from the Minister. I think a lot more could be done to try and help the Torrent River, and I know he says in the letter that they don't restock and that kind of the make an impact, and that is fine. However, just with the large scale of the spill and the amount of fish that have died, I find it very hard to believe that this is actually going to recover in 2 to 3 years' time. The last time the Torrent had a spill as bad as this, it took almost 15 years for the river to return to original levels. And in the letter he mentions about trout, it was more than just trout, there was eels, there was a lot of other species that were killed in the Torrent River that may not come back. And I'm hoping Deira can do a lot more than what they say in this letter. And then just in regards to the last couple of paragraphs to the animal cruelty register, I know again the minister says he's tried and it's not feasible. He says he has met meetings with the Minister of Justice. But the Minister of Justice says she has never had a meeting on the animal cruelty register. Certainly not one that would have put it on the back burner and said it didn't exist, it wasn't possible. And I know Niamh Long has come out strongly supporting one. So while I accept the contents of the letter, it's certainly an issue that I intend, and I know my party intend, to pursue over the next couple of months and years, and hopefully it's not the final nail in the coffin for it. We need this register, plain and simple. If to stop animal cruelty, this is the best way to do it, and the only way to do it, in my opinion. And hopefully the rest of the council support me in doing that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Quinn. I would agree with you, and hopefully we can get a wee bit more progress in that. So that's everybody there. Okay, item 14 then, consultations. Okay, and then so moving to confidential business, if we can conclude the open business before a proposer and seconder is taken to go on to confidential business. I'd just like to thank the public for listening and advise that the live broadcast will now end. It may take a few seconds for this to end, so if we can wait until it is confirmed. And just thank everybody again for logging in online. And if I can get a proposer and seconder to go on to confidential, Councillor Burton and Councillor Sean McGuigan.